Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Back here at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Talking Stanley Cup playoffs with our man Greg Wyshynski, who joins us every Thursday at 9:30, presented by ESPN Bet. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, man. Doing well. It's pretty good. Pretty good second round. I know we talked about the first round being a little B minus C plus. This one's pushing into A territory. I think it's been really good.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I was watching Colorado and Dallas last night, and Dallas had an opportunity to close the series out, win it 4-1. Colorado said not so fast, and got it done on the road. Really nice outing for the Avs.
Yeah, and I mean, also in the face of adversity, too. I mean, you know, the Valeri Nichushkin thing with him, failing a drug test and having to, leave for 6 months and all that stuff. I mean, the guy had 9 goals, and the news, I think, hit them like a truck. You could see it in the post-game interviews after game 4 and just how devastated they were that this whole thing fell apart like it did. So to pull together to win that game, pretty impressive. And now they get it back to Denver, which is a tough place to play.
Yeah, for sure. And then you look at games tonight. You got the Rangers in Carolina. Now the Rangers can close it out with a win. But I feel like Carolina not going away. Rod the Bod's got his team fighting.
He is. And by the way, you know, I know there's a lot of conjecture about Brendan Moore and, like, his future and his contract and everything. Everything I've come to understand in covering this series is that it's basically done. There's a lot of consternation about maybe a few details that were blown out of proportion, but I think he's going to be back as Carolina's coach.
He should be.
Yeah, he should be, right. So, you know, this is a really interesting series. I wrote about it this morning on ESPN, the idea that, you know, the Rangers had this team down and beaten, and they shouldn't have been really worried after losing game 4, but there's definitely reasons to be concerned after losing game 5. You know, their power play, the Rangers, which has powered them all postseason, has gone goalless in their last 3 games. Freddie Anderson, I thought, played pretty well in game 5. The Hurricanes seem to be getting better at 5-on-5, which was always their advantage in the series. So, you know, I don't think they wanted to be in Carolina for game 6, man. We're talking about Denver being a tough place to play. The Carolina Hurricanes have the best record in the playoffs at home since Brendan Moore became their coach. So this is going to be a really, really big moment for Carolina to try to push this thing to 7. But more importantly, you know, for all this talk about this being the Rangers' year, like, these are the spots you win in if you're going to win the Stanley Cup. So I'm really interested to see how the Rangers react to what is by far their biggest face of it, bout of adversity they've had this postseason.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask next. You know, Peter Laviolette comes in and has a tremendous year and obviously has this team poised to potentially win it all. I mean, you know, is the pressure – I'm not saying the job pressure, but is the pressure mounting to get over the hump and win this series, close it out, you know, tonight?
For sure, yeah. I mean, he talked about it after game 5 that he's got a level of concern because I think there was a bit of disconnect between the players and their coach, to be honest with you. And not in a, like, a major way, but the players seem to believe that the problem was the third period. Like, they gave up a bunch of goals to Carolina in the third period. They end up losing the game at MSG. Laviolette afterwards is like, nah, actually the whole game was crap. You know, like, we had problems the whole game. And we need to really kind of, like, make sure that we understand what needs to be done. And you could see it in that game. I mean, they laid an egg. I mean, they didn't attack the net. They weren't good on their details. They certainly weren't good on the power play. They just didn't have the motion and the movement that they usually have there. So it's all fixable stuff. But again, the last thing you want to do if you're the Rangers is, you know, push this thing into Raleigh where the Hurricanes are great, and then play them in a game 7. Where, you know, it's a one-bounce thing with the way that the Hurricanes play in these games. I mean, the Hurricanes, again, lost, you know, 4 straight overtime games in the conference final last year. Those are all one-bounce games. And so, I don't know. If I were the Rangers, I'd be pretty upset with myself right now for putting myself in this situation.
Although it's been, you know, 18 years since he won the Cup in Carolina, it's probably a little satisfying if Pete Laviolette and his team could close out the Carolina tonight at Carolina.
I don't know what's satisfying to him, honestly.
True. He never opened up when he was here with us. Although, Greg, I'll tell you a quick story. I'll tell you a quick story. Yeah. When he was here one time, we were doing a scrum with LaViolette, and you know, the questions were going nowhere. I'm like, hey, it's December 23rd. If you haven't bought your wife a Christmas gift, what do you need to do? He went on a three-minute rant, Greg, about going to Walgreens and buying gift cards. It was amazing. It was amazing. Yeah. That's the most he ever talked to us.
That man strikes me as a real buying a gift card the day before Valentine's Day, the day before Mother's Day. And by the way, the only thing I think excites him is a good can of Brill cream for his hair, like a good tin of Brill cream. It's funny. There was a lot of talk before the series about the connections between these teams, in particular Vincent Trocheck having been with Carolina the last time they played the Rangers in the playoffs, LaViolette having obviously coached them. And he said, you know, he's kind of a nomad now. I mean, he's been in a few places, and it's not as if he has the same kind of connection with the Hurricanes as maybe he did in previous years. But yeah, I'm sure there's probably some satisfaction to try to close this thing out down there for him.
We'd always laugh too, Greg, because he looks just like the guy in the board game Operation. You remember, you'd pull the parts out of the guy. He looks just like the Operation guy. So we'd always laugh about that. Of course, you know, we never told him because we were scared to death. Chase and I like to play this game when it comes to what the league office would love to have. What's the ideal Stanley Cup final that the NHL would love to have, Greg? And the opposite of that, what's the one they're kind of like, yeah, I'm not so sure about that?
Well, I should preface this by saying I work for a rights holder, and anything I say is my own opinion.
Let's go the best one. Yeah.
I'm sure my bosses have some opinions, too. I think, you know, obviously, like, Boston or the Rangers coming out of the East is the optimum thing. With the Rangers, it'd be interesting. Boston pops a huge amount of interest no matter, you know, what year it is. But they've been to the final a few times. Rangers have been to the final once. Since winning in 94, you've got the whole anniversary of the 94 Cup you can rely on. And living in New York, like, I could tell you that there's a lot of juice around this particular Rangers team just because of the personalities on it and stuff like that. And then out of the West, I mean, of the teams that are still alive, you know, it's funny. I think probably the biggest market is Colorado still. And they've got some star power and everything else, but I mean, for my money, or you Dallas. Want McDavid in the final. You want McDavid in the final. Like, McDavid versus the Rangers, to me, is, like, the most interesting matchup on the table, because you have McDavid and Draisaitl, two generational talents, trying to win the Cup for the first time versus a Rangers team that's trying to win it for the first time in 30 years. You've got, you know, New York. You've got the MSG. You've got Canada with this whole thing. Like, I think that's the most interesting final that I could book if I had the book, as I say, in the wrestling business.
It'll be fun to see McDavid versus Matthews in 2047, whenever Toronto can figure out how to get there.
I mean, you know, Matthews might be playing in Utah by that point. I don't know, like, be a little closer to home. But no, it's Alyssa, that Vancouver-Edmonton series, we didn't really talk about it too much, but that's the best series of the playoffs. Like, we're only four games into it, and the amount, every game has got so much excitement. The crowds are so hot. You know, off the ice, the battle between the media and the social media. You got the McDavid thing with the suspension. You got the goalie change. Like, it is one of those operatic playoff series that sometimes can only happen between two Canadian teams. But it is. I mean, I'm putting pots of coffee on tonight, boys. That's one I'm staying up to watch, because it is a dynamite playoff series.
Well, and I'll say this too, Greg. Like, you know, and I know that maybe Vancouver has a goalie situation, you know, have to obviously monitor that. But watching them against the Predators and seeing the chances that the Predators had to win those games, and Vancouver still found a way, whether it was lucky or not, you know, that makes a team dangerous, because it just adds to their confidence. And so when they knocked off the Preds, I'm like, if they can get through Edmonton, this team can make some noise. And I mean, they certainly are already doing that, with the series tied at two.
They are. And I think, you know, the impressive thing for them, besides obviously handling the goalie situation that they were dealt, their supporting cast, I think, has outplayed Edmonton's. And I didn't think that was quite necessarily the case from the Nashville series, where I think it was a bit top heavy with guys like Besser really kind of, you know, carrying the torch. But, you know, for me, it's really all about you know, whether the Oilers can do two things. One, play the type of defense they played in game four. They made the goalie change from Stuart Skinner to Calvin Pickard. And to me, it's not about anything that the goalies were doing. It's about what the team in front of them was doing. And they got their attention because they played their best defensive game analytically of the playoffs in that game. And then two is just like, how far can Connor and Leon carry this team? The biggest problem I have with the Oilers right now, as far as like having picked them to win the cup, is I don't think it's sustainable to play McDavid and Draisaitl like 30 minutes a night. When you're in the second round of the playoffs, which is kind of where this team had been, their ice time dropped a bit in game four, thankfully, but I just got a feeling like even if they get through the series, I mean, at some point the tank's on E for those guys having to carry this team as much as they have.
No doubt. Greg, always enjoy the chats, and we will talk next week.
Talk to you soon.
Awesome. Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, presented by ESPN Bet, joins us every Thursday at 9:30. We are live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.